reviewing some legislation that is proposed to be enacted in the Marine Resources Committee dealing with elbers, and there's a blue sheet coming around, and I'll wait for that because that is the new rule, Joint Rule 319, that requires, I don't know if you're all familiar with this, but requires that any, well, let me back up for that. When a Joint Standing Committee, a Policy Committee, is looking at legislation in front of them that may either adopt a new crime or change the classification of a crime, they're required to have a public hearing on that, go through a work session, and if there seems to be a majority of interest in that bill or an amendment thereto that may do those things, they need to before they finally pass out a committee, they need to refer it to this committee for its review of those criminal changes in the criminal classifications. So what you're going to do today is you should be getting this blue paper, and you'll also be getting, I think, the letter coming from the Marine Resource Committee. It's on white paper with the bill changes. It's on LD 632, an act to improve enforcement mechanisms in the elbow industry to make technical changes to the main resource law. I can walk you through that. But really what your function here today is on this bill is to review it and evaluate the proposal for its impact on the criminal justice system. It's not really to look at the policy of what they're enacting. It's merely to look at what they're proposing as far as the change to the crimes and how that may impact, or the creation of a crime in this case, and how that may impact the criminal justice system. This is the first time you've seen this. This is fairly analogous to what the Judiciary Committee does with freedom of access changes in the law. So this committee really doesn't have jurisdiction to make any changes or change the vote with what they're proposing in their amendment. It's just to advise them on what kind of impact it may have on the criminal justice system. When the committee's ready, if it pleases the chair, I can walk through the white paper, and it should be coming out to you now, or you may be getting it soon. I can probably give you the documents you're going to have. You're going to have a white sheet in front of you. It's a packet that says at the top of it will have, it's from the Marine Resources Committee. And it's in the April 4th, 2003, regarding the proposed amendment to this bill. Regarding the request for review pursuant to Rule 319. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. And also you're going to have in front of you, you're going to have sort of two spreadsheets that says crime, civil violations, and Title 12. What the chair has asked me to do is to provide the committee with some fairly analogous examples in other natural resources areas that are fairly analogous to the changes that are going to be that are proposed in this amendment for your review, so you can kind of get an idea of what's out there. And also there's a sample of Class D and Class E crimes in the criminal code. There's another sheet that's got a random sample that I put together of other Class D and Class E crimes, so you can get ideas in the criminal code context, similar levels of crimes, or what offenses equate to similar levels of crimes. The amendments they're putting forth, in general, it changes what is now civil law to what would be a Class D crime, which Marine Resources in their statutes has to default to Class D crime unless it's otherwise specified. These all used to be civil violations. Like I said, they're proposed now to move up to Class D crime with a minimum mandatory fine of $2,000. I think that's consistent with all of them, and I'll get to that. This comes to you because of, you probably all know, the elber fishery is sort of undergoing a quote-unquote gold rush. The price of elbers have gone up significantly, so there's a lot of pressure to get out there and fish for elbers. And the department and the legislature has enacted and implemented some rules and laws to try to maintain that resource. And this is, I think, going along a little further in that effort. As you all may know, that I think elbers are the American eel. They end up becoming the American eel, which actually go out to cigars of the sea, and there's this life cycle or an adverse fish. And I think the market for this is mainly in Asia. I think a lot of it ends up in sushi. But anyway, I think this is what this is stemming from. And I'm not going any farther than that. The chair of the Marine Resource Committee is here, one of the chairs, as well as some people from the department, if you need to have a discussion with them about any of this. When you're ready, I can try to walk you through it, or you can...
We're ready.
Okay. Looking at the white, again, the letter from the Marine Resource Committee, if you turn that first page, this is the proposed amendment. And I guess the thing to point out is that the stuff, when you go through it, the things in boxes are things that are being changed, or things that involve a change to the penalty, the criminal penalty, or the civil penalty, now going to criminal. On page 2, you'll see that there's a requirement for them to have an elber fishing license. And if you follow that along, you'll see on page 4 There's also a minimum age requirement. A person has to be a person who's under the 15 years of age, not a minimum. 15 years of age may not fish or take elvers. And at the very bottom of page, not the very bottom, but midway through on page 4, you'll see where it changes that. What once was a civil violation for those two things into a Class C crime and establishes a $2,000 fine that may not be suspended. So it's a minimum mandatory fine that's being imposed. And as you go down on page 4, you'll see there's an Elver Flight Net and Sheldon Ill Trap Fee. There's also tags for Elver Flight Net. And also, there's in the next page a dip net fee. And again, if those things are violated, it's again a Class D crime. It was a civil crime. Now it goes to Class A with a mandatory minimum of $2,000. I'm going through these pretty quickly, but you'll see the theme is a lot of these are bumping up a civil violation to a Class D with a minimum mandatory to try to maintain the resource, let's say. So there are a number of them, and I guess the impact that you might want to look at is going from a civil violation to a Class D and looking at the stuff that I provided you for comparison, whether that seems to be in line. Again, we really can't change that, but you can certainly send your recommendations to the committee for their consideration. I don't know if you want me to walk through all of these. They're all, again, licenses, restrictions on the equipment that can be used, times when you can fish for them and when you can't, how you fish for them. And again, these are all civil violations and how it's being proposed to return it to Class Bs.
So all these things in boxes we have, changing it from a civil to a Class B, and any violation of one of these is a $2,000 fine. That's
the mandatory minimum, yeah. And not all the language in the boxes is new language, but the fine that's going along with them has been bumped up to a Class D. Okay. There is some new language in here, but for this committee, it's mostly looking at the Class D issue.
Class D. Representative Mox first, then Representative Pizzi.
How did they skip over the E?
I'm assuming that's a policy decision, that an E may not be enough. I think with E, I think they're looking at a penalty of, and I don't want to speak for the committee, but I think they're looking at a penalty of $2,000. My understanding is that $2,000 minimum sort of is, quote unquote, a sweet spot where it impacts people the most. It's more of a deterrent, but also isn't something that they have to collect.
More time in jail.
And it also puts a little more time in jail, from 6 months up to a possible year maximum. And I think, I'm trying to remember what the penalty level is for that.
You can.
Yeah, if I may real quick, a Class E is only up to $1,000 fine. The Class D bumps up to $2,000, and that's apparently the spot they want to be.
Representative Pease, you were next.
Yeah, I think you just answered it. I didn't see it there quickly, but there is a jail time also possible with this being bumped up to Class D, right?
Yes, up to 1 year in prison.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Curtis. What was the vote coming out of committee? Unanimous or what? Do you have that information?
It had to be a majority. I don't know if it ended up being unanimous or not, but I
would like that information.
It was unanimous.
I would actually ask if the chair could come join you, because Representative Mox has a question. Hello, Senator.
Hello. I'll do my best. You may have to call a department depending on what the questions are.
That's fine.
I see the new registers are out.
They are.
Oh.
I'll have a couple more.
How come we didn't do this last year with the big the jump in the industry?
There was an intent to set a $2,000 fine last year, expecting that would discourage people. It ended up, unfortunately, the wording being such that the courts could award much smaller ones instead of setting it as a minimum. Because we knew then it was high, it ended up at roughly $2,500 a pound in the fishery last year. Right now it's getting close to $2,000. It may, by some projections, reach $3,500 a pound this season. And what we're seeing is that there's a lot of poaching activity because people feel with only the civil violation, they can turn around and go back to doing what they're doing, whether they had a license and they were fishing illegally or if they did not have a license. It's just the cost of doing business is the attitude. And the ability to arrest someone to stop the activity to protect the fishery is the big change with this legislation.
By making it criminal, like I said, not only do you take them physically out of the stream, you can also take their gear, seize their gear, right?
Right. And you can seize the gear now, I believe, and their catch. But they just turn around and hit another net and go at it again. When you can make several thousand dollars a night,
several thousand,
taking a net
pretty
away.
Loudly.
Representative Pease.
Yes, Senator, and maybe this question might need to be answered by the Marine Patrol, but from what you've been hearing in your committee, hasn't there been a little more escalation of threats and destruction of property from within the Elba fishing community this year?
There actually are some people that are hiring other people, given how much money is made in the fishery, are hiring other people to stand watch over their fike nets with shotgun. It's a dangerous situation out there, and we really need to
decline. I had a comment conversation with an Elba fisherman a couple weeks ago. Not necessarily an honest Elba fisherman. And he made a point to me that the fines were a joke, and he can make it up in one night, but he could get fined if he got fined every day of the week.
And that's exactly the attitude that we're trying to address, the change that this legislation makes.
Representative Tyler?
Given the headlines, Senator, of the last few days with the governor and obviously the Passamaquoddy tribe, I know there is ongoing negotiations. Do you see resolution to that coming forward? I mean, my concern here would be they have issued supposedly 500 and something permits, and what would the incarceration be if this doesn't go through?
As with anyone else in violation, it's a matter of what the department chooses to do in handling it. They have some discretion, and I think they've been using it very wisely to date. This bill, this language you have before you, is all language that existed before the recent escalation in the county. This is a situation which there have been, even this year, a number of crackdowns on people that have been illegally fishing. Those have nothing to do with the tribes. The enforcement language you have in front of you in this bill was in LD 632 weeks ago. The landings changed to make information available so that they would have that to the Bureau of Marine Patrol access to that data for enforcement purposes. It was already in a separate landings bill. Because of all of the pressure on this industry right now, we're trying to enact it in time, be effective in using it to get a handle on this season's activities. Those activities are not centered in the Passamaquoddy. They've been, in fact, the arrest actions to date, I mean, not arrest, but the crackdowns and confiscation involve some activity in New Jersey by people holding Maine licenses, some people in Maine. Just recently, someone, I believe it was 40 pounds, in a night, supposedly, that is a pretty clear indication that there's more than one person really fishing, and the person with the valid license is trying to sell it to the dealer. They need better means to crack down on the different kinds of poaching that's going on.
Quick question. Curtis, do you have right in front of you, I don't have my book open, but Class D, what would be the mandatory jail sentence?
There is a bond. There's no mandatory. It goes up to one year.
But there's no mandatory minimum.
No, there's not.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
And the $2,000 mandatory minimum proposed in the bill, that's the top of the line for a Class D. I believe it can go above that.
Up to $2,000. Or are we asking for $2,000 right across the board?
Yes, but in a Class D crime now, it's up to a year imprisonment and up to $2,000 in fine. But this would make, in their law, and marine resource laws, it would make $2,000 for the absolute minimum. I'm not sure that where they would go after that, but I need to chat with someone else on that.
Okay. Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson, I have a question regarding the discussion around the classification of the crime within your committee, or was it proposed originally to be Class D crime and very little or no discussion around the classification?
It was proposed originally to be Class D. There was a little discussion, and not of suggesting other classifications, but around whether it would be a problem that there might, for instance, be minors subject to this Class D. And there were answers from the department, from Marine Patrol, as to the fact the default for Marine Resources is Class D, and pretty much that ended the discussion on we're going back to the default for Marine Resources with these violations, other than the fine.
I may follow up with that. I'm not real. Class D seems, there's a lot of crimes that are similar, in my opinion, that fit within the Class E category. But my question is to Curtis now. We can easily, if we decided to go with Class E crime, for example, if the committee decided to do that, we could still impose a $2,000 mandatory fine, correct?
Which is that under Class E now? I think the statute has not withstand that. Class E now, I think
it's $1,000.
Yeah, it's $1,000. You have to.
So, but we could do that, is what I'm getting, right?
Yes. But again, keep in mind, this bill is not before the committee.
Right.
All we're doing is making a recommendation to Marine Resources on the impact of this.
We're going
to
talk about the impact.
Thank you.
The impact, and we're going to send a letter. Senator Plummer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Johnson, that was my impression, that we're here to evaluate what it would do in terms of the criminal code. I do appreciate you sticking with the Class D crime as opposed to trying to create a separate crime or a separate offense. And I know once the bill leaves the legislature, it's up to the judiciary. But in terms of a fiscal note, are you anticipating that the fines would be preferable over jail time?
I don't think I can answer for the department. I can say that from what was expressed in the hearing, that the intent is to have the ability to arrest someone if need be. But if they were cooperative rather than saying, well, I'm just going to go back at it again because it's a cost of doing business, they would just settle for the fine and not seek the jail time for the person. So I do believe that the department has shown a lot of good judgment and restraint and discretion in dealing with the fishery. But right now, if someone says, that's just a cost of doing business regarding the fine, they have no recourse to remove the person from the fishery, and that's the intent of this change. I wouldn't expect them to go out and arrest everyone who is out there found violating the law.
But what your committee worked on, and with presidency, and what you worked on, what you come up with, is your committee's vote. And we're just we put a policy in place, a rule that any committee that was going to impact the criminal code, that we would have not an oversight position. We're not here to second guess what you guys did. We're just here to review what you guys did. Your committee has been just like this committee and responsible for its own actions and the department. And how they're going to react to this law is the department's, just like the state police is kind of ours. And so if there's questions related to that, I'd like them asked, but I want them related to that. We're not changing your committee's rule. Well, Senator Representative Pease and then Senator Plummer.
Thank you, first of all, Mr. Chair, for the promotion. My question is, I totally support their moves this way. How do we dispose of it now?
We've come up with a process that we're looking at like similar things, how it's going to impact our books, how it's going to impact our jails, and the cost of that. I have the lead sponsor, the lead advocate, who is a past co-chair of this committee, and some problems that we were running into with what committees we're doing around the State House here, and she's more than welcome to take the 14th seat. And I would like to have Senator Haskell respond to that question, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself on the microphone.
Thank you very much, Senator Zofsky, and Representative Dyer, members of the committee. I'm Senator Ann Haskell. My district is number 9. It's a portion of Portland, a portion of Westbrook. And I did indeed have the pleasure of serving on this committee for a number of years. And besides the several other years in the legislature, and I observed what a couple of other committees do regarding issues where there are crossover pieces of policy that come into effect. One of them was with the Fund for Healthy Maine. Fund for Healthy Maine is used for a variety of projects. Various committees have jurisdiction over those projects. If there was anything proposed in the legislature which regarding the Fund for Healthy Maine, before it went on onto the floor, there is a rule, a joint rule, that says the committee of jurisdiction over that funding piece, and that funding was the Fund for Healthy Maine, that committee would review it and make a recommendation back to the policy committee. So if you had decided to create a fishway and use for its cost the money from the Fund for Healthy Maine, it would have to be reviewed by that committee. That committee then does not have jurisdiction to make any changes to that, but to report back to your committee and say, thank you very much, Senator Johnson, what a wonderful idea. However, we believe this is inconsistent with the way that we have used the Fund for Healthy Maine, the way it's designed, the way we come to understand it. There is also a similar process for the Judiciary Committee. If your committee decides that something is going to be that you are no longer going to allow the number of licenses in Cumberland County for law provision to be public, if you make them non-public and basically impact the Freedom Information Act, then that piece of legislation needs to go to the Judiciary Committee for a similar review so that they can be sure that it's consistent with their policy. It was my opinion on the committee in the number of years that I served here that crimes were being proposed by a variety of other committees who had not had the opportunity that this committee has had to look at what the relative importance value of those crimes were. And so sometimes there came crimes which had two impacts, in my opinion. One was the impact on the prison costs. That's one of the reasons that it came forward when it all went down to Appropriations Committee and there were huge jail costs. And the second was whether or not when a judge looked at that, that was a consistent, somewhat in the same range. They all don't have to look alike, but at least somewhat in the same range. So I proposed the rule, which Senator Zofsky brought forward, and the rule basically states that with a piece of legislation, propose a crime which would have a punishment that would impact the judicial system, the criminal justice system, that it would come here. This committee would have the opportunity to review to see whether the level of crime was consistent with other levels of crimes. In other words, we don't want, guiding a bear without a main guide to be a Class A crime. That wouldn't be a consistent application, and I think it would be hard to justify. And the process by which it was envisioned, I believe the rule says, is the Committee of Criminal Justice and Public Safety will review the crime being that section and would make a recommendation back to the Committee of Jurisdiction. But this committee did not have the authority to change that, only to make a recommendation back, which I always assumed would be, this appears to be consistent. Thank you very much, Senator Johnson, for sending it forward to us. Or, Senator Johnson, if you would inform your committee that it appears that this crime is more similar to those crimes in a Class X category, then you could bring that back to your committee and take it under consideration.
First, I'd like to ask Representative Pease if that was the answer to his question. And I want to call on Representative Mark Dion. Excuse me. There's too many Marks on this committee.
Happy to have Representative Mark.
Ben Wilson. Plumber.
Holly Hills, Representative Mark. Senator, thank you for attending. The question I had, and you kind of answering it, you know, when I read the rule, and I know you're one of the authors, so it's easier to ask you than my thought is, when it comes to evaluating the proposal for its impact on the criminal justice system, let's see if I'm clear. One, the first part of the test, is the crime consistent with similar other conduct, or the committee is supposed to figure out if the conduct is similar to others and therefore the right class is assigned? That's the first test. And then the second test is cost on the system measured by jail. This is a learning piece for this committee, and I think that I'm trying to explore what the real test is for other committees when they design criminal statutes can anticipate what we're going to measure their decision against.
Thank you. If I understand your question, while the cost was a matter of importance, it was never designed to be the deciding factor that you said, oh, we can't do this, it's too expensive. You will be looking at the fiscal note. But if this committee has had no knowledge of it, that creates a fiscal impact for which your budget review may not be prepared. There may have been 16 crimes committed, proposed and passed that you might not know about. You go about putting your budget in place, not recognizing that you're going to see an increase of 100 and, you know, likely 100 based on the fiscal note. So while I would not think that this committee was going to be saying, oh, we can't do that one, it's too expensive, I think the first criteria is it consistent, and then the risk-reward is the balance of the Committee of Jurisdictions implication. But at least you know what the fiscal impact is, but that by and large, it would be this committee's responsibility to look and see whether it was consistent with other applications.
So to be clear then, it's not the purpose of this rule to allow this committee to question the rationale for making this alleged conduct criminal to begin with?
If it is your no crime at all, you saw a conduct and it was this committee's could not seem to find that that even rose to the level of a Class E crime, that you could report that back to the committee and said, and let them know that it does not match any of the criteria for crimes. It's not consistent with any of the criteria for crimes that we have in our statute. It doesn't mean the committee can't do it. It simply means that they then understand that here's the level and here's where it floated up to.
All right, so for future reference, this committee could report a finding, say, we cannot concur with the fact that this conduct should be defined as criminal conduct.
I would think that would be one of your findings, just like any
you
other.
You think it could be?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Haskell, Senator Johnson, everybody for explaining this to us. It's an unusual position for us to be in, almost second-guessing or through reviewing what your committee's already done here. Knowing that I will share my opinion in the spirit of keeping this moving forward, I do not feel, after reviewing the other like crimes, that this fits the criteria for a Class D crime, and I wouldn't feel comfortable recommending that it stay a Class D. I think that if, based off the other similar violations like fishing without a license, fish kills, closed fishing seasons, all these various other types that are all Class Es, I feel more comfortable. Aside from that, knowing that domestic violence is a Class D crime, criminal threatening is a Class D crime, stalking is a Class D crime, I don't feel that stealing helpers, or whatever they're called, I'm sorry, rises to the same level of conduct as stalking or criminal threatening does. So I feel that, in my opinion, it's more appropriate as a Class E crime, and I will stop sharing my opinion beyond that.
Okay, because my opinion is going to be a little bit differently. Now I'm going to Representative Tyler. I believe you had a question next.
In light of the fact that 40 pounds was mentioned, am I correct in assuming that when an arrest is made, the product is confiscated?
Mr. Chairman, other distinguished members of the committee, my name is Lieutenant Dale Sproul. I'm with the Maine Marine Patrol. I'd be more than happy to attempt to answer any questions that you have. In most situations, the answer to that question would be yes. We have a policy with the state by statute that live product that we seize can be liberated back into the waters from whence they came alive. So the simple answer is that 90% of the time, and I really can't think of any situations right off where it wouldn't be, but the assumption is that it would be.
Well, that a $2,000 fine means something, but if you get $80,000 worth of product, $2,000 is dropped in the pocket.
And that's, if I can just elaborate just a little bit, and that's the problem that we had last year. This, as you all know, has been said over and over that this is a very lucrative and very profitable endeavor. And what we found 3 years ago, when the price was $900 a pound, that's when some of our illegal activity really, really rose to the, you know, came up in advance. Last year, it was an attempt to deter that with the fines. And I think the original intent from the industry was to put that fine at $2,000 to make it so that somebody wouldn't go out there and eat illegal fish. Unfortunately, last year, right out of the gate, the Elvis season was just phenomenal. The Elvis were running like crazy. It was nothing to catch 10, 20, 30 pounds a night. And the price started out, I think it was like $1,700 it started out, and it wasn't very long before it went over $2,000. What we found real quick is that people didn't care about the fine. It was a cost of doing business and a very, very small cost of doing business. And we made, I think the number was in the ballpark of 300 summonses written last year. Just about half of those were for no licenses. And of that, we had a fair amount of individuals that were second and third offense. The problem, and last year they put into effect that the second offense, once adjudicated on the first offense, would become a criminal violation. Problem is, as we all know, the court system can lag behind at times, and a lot of those cases were adjudicated after the Elvis season ended. We had a handful of people that had multiple violations. We had one individual, I think we wrote him 16 summonses. We had two different individuals that I can think of right off quick that we caught them one night. Within 2 hours, couldn't arrest them, gave them a civil violation, sent them on their way. Within 2 hours, they were right back fishing again. Still couldn't arrest them. So it was quite a hindrance. So I think, and this is nothing new. I mean, this has been going every few years. The Elvis season will come up a little bit, and when it comes up to a profit, you know, it's a gold mine mentality. So personally, I think this would be, it's another tool for us. I think it's important to note that years ago, all of our crimes were Class D crimes. I don't know just what year it was. It's probably been, what, five, six at least, probably even longer than that, when we started decriminalizing some of these. And the thought at the time was is that we were starting to have more trials. It was, you know, it was a drag on the courts. So if we put these a lot of these license issues down to a civil violation, there'd be less trials, less draw on the courts, and it would be, you know, it would be a simpler process. At this year, last year, right at the beginning of the season, we realized that for this particular situation, that was an issue. So, I mean, we've been started down this road last year, right after the season, and here we are today.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We had several hands up. This committee is more used to criminal charges, dealing with drugs and stuff. If we look at the crime of dealing cocaine, and if we make a $250 fine and lost your driver's license, it's worth taking the chance. Put them in jail for 5 years, it's not taking a chance out of it. And that's kind of what you guys over in Marine Resources look at, different product, the same crime. Senator Drew Trumbull, then Senator Marks, or Representative Marks. I'm going to get it straight sooner or later.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lieutenant, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you. The only reason I ask is because the senator runs a tight ship, and we have to ask a question, but I got more of a statement, so I got my question out of the way. My concern is that if we implement this Class D, and we stop putting all these people in jail, because obviously right now they don't care about the fine. It's so lucrative that it doesn't matter. We stop putting in jail, and now our jails become overbooked with Passamaquoddy members. To me, that's just a concern of how we control that.
Can I respond to that?
You sure can,
sir. I mean, this we started down this road last year, so I just would like to explain that this has nothing to do with the Passamaquoddy situation. It was real clear to us, as I stated earlier, last year, right out of the gate, we realized that we were going to have a problem with multiple violators and violators violating multiple times. It's such a lucrative business that the fine amount alone just doesn't cut it. And is this the solve-all? Is this going to stop the poaching? Unfortunately, no. I wish it would. But I do feel that with the fine, as well as the potential for getting arrested, it's going to keep that individual that's right on the line on the right side of the line.
And I'd like to just follow up real quick. There was no disrespect in my comment towards the tribal members. I know it involves many people. I know a lot of focus has just been around them. I just want to make that clear on the record.
Thank you.
I'm going to call on Senator Plummer, who's been very patient with me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure at what point we're at. It may surprise people that I would disagree with Representative Wilson. Initially, I would have said, I would have suggested maybe trying a Class E crime, but hearing the evidence that's been presented here, I think that's not going to do what Marine Resources wants to do, and I'm not committing that I would support this when it comes to the floor of the body, but I think they have demonstrated to us that a Class D crime is appropriate. My hope was that perhaps the fiscal note would be somewhat altered by the fine offsetting the jail time, but I think they're aware that there could be a fiscal note on this for the jail time. So I guess I don't have a problem giving them my blessing to go ahead with the bill as they've presented it.
You know, I have something to do with clams over the years, and when I see a violation of minimum size for soft-shell clams, it's a Class D crime. Well, believe me. Senator, Representative Marks, did you have another question at whatever title I gave you?
Yes, Congressman.
I stopped laughing.
When we vote, are we going to vote to concur or non-concur or up or down or how?
Well, we're just going to have a recommendation go down, and we're going to vote on that recommendation. They're going to go on with their work, and it'll come to the floor on Tuesday, I'm sure. And it will be dealt with by the legislature. As far as the bill and the content of the bill, we're going to just send down our recommendation. We might have a divided recommendation, I guess, like anything else, but we're just going to send them a recommendation. Go forth and multiply.
Thank you. I totally understand where you are, and this probably should have happened last year. For my seatmate, give him a few examples of short clams, taking lobsters without a license. What are those classes?
Those
to give him an idea.
Class D crimes. And more importantly,
Representative, more importantly, I can go one further. I think one better than that. We talk about light crimes. Elba harvesting during the close period is currently a Class D crime. Illegal setting of nets and traps, currently a Class D crime.
ELBA phishing during the closed period, currently Class D crime. So a lot of our ELBA laws already are Class D crimes. Again, it's the licensing issue that dropped back to a civil to try to help years ago all of our licensing went back to civil. So, but in this case, you know, it is important to bump it back.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Pelletier, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you as you or you as Flack. I'll take it either way I can get it.
Thank you very much, Senator Jazowski. My name is John Pelletier. I'm the chair of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission. And we're a body, for those who don't know, that's created by the Criminal Code, and we advise this committee and the legislature on matters affecting criminal code and the criminal justice system in general. Clark has not looked at this, but there's a couple of things I did want to point out. With respect, and it was mentioned earlier in the senator's presentation in passing, in the section regarding the license, there is a minimum age for ELBA phishing, and I want to point out that violation of that section would involve a 14-year-old, and that is not a juvenile crime. Juvenile crime includes only a very limited number of crimes from Title 12 or Title 29A. So what you would have is you would have a 14-year-old subject to a Class D crime, which they may be now for some violations. But also for a Class D crime, one sentencing option available to a judge is an unconditional discharge. So you'd have a 14-year-old potentially subject to a $2,000 mandatory minimum fine. It's interesting to note that the original offense is not a juvenile crime, but if the person got that fine and refused to pay, the refusal to pay would be a juvenile crime. You couldn't put them in jail in the regular fine collection process. But in any event, just something for the committee's consideration that this would subject 14-year-olds to a mandatory $2,000 fine and a conviction for a Class D crime. The other thing I would point out is that it is unusual. We have some minimum fines. It is unusual to have the minimum fine, the minimum fine equal the maximum fine, which it would in this case. But on the other hand, I'm just providing information. I'm not expressing an opinion. On the other hand, it certainly is when a judge thinks about sentencing, or in my view, when this committee thinks about penalties, it certainly is a relevant factor in talking about fines, the pecuniary benefit that someone's going to get from the violation, and the fact that you want to measure a fine so that it's going to hurt. So that is a relevant consideration. So that's on one side, and on the other side, it is unusual to have the maximum fine be the minimum fine. I will point out that even with respect to a number of things that are touched in Curtis's summary, many of them are already Class D crimes. So having had a chance to look a little bit at Title 12, there's a lot of Class D crimes in our hunting and fishing laws, is my understanding. And then the last two things I'll point out based on the discussion is that I forgot your rank. Lieutenant is correct that if it's not a crime, you can't arrest. So the idea of stopping the conduct is an aspect of a crime. And it is also correct that the current law with respect to the license violation says a second violation is a Class D crime. But as I learned early on when I represent someone who had two OUIs in the same night, there's a first one and there's a second one, but in court they're both a first offense because nothing is a second offense until you're convicted from the first one. So, as he said, you can have six violations in the same evening, and they're all first offenses. So that's just information for your consideration. I'd be glad to answer any questions if I've raised any.
I have a question on the 14-year-old. Would you have any suggestions if we're going to do our job as sending a letter down, how we could express that?
Well,
or if there's a quick, simple hedge buck.
Well, there's two alternatives, and that is in that in the licensing provision, there's a violation section in 8, and you could say a violation of this section is a Class D crime with a $2,000 minimum, except that a violation of subsection 6, which is the minimum age, is a civil violation or however you wanted to do it. Or you could leave it as it is and add a violation of this section to one in the juvenile code as one of those offenses that is defined as a juvenile crime. Those would be the alternative ways of doing with it. The philosophy of the juvenile code is to include only very few Title 12 offenses. So rather than sort of cluttering up that list, I think my personal recommendation would be to make an alternative penalty section for violation of subsection 6 in section 6505A.
Can I ask Senator Johnson if when you were deliberating this issue with your committee, if you could turn on that microphone, please, if that had ever come up in conversation?
Not the alternatives that he's discussed, but the question of minors being caught by these. It was pointed out that there are, you know, some of the current violations that Lieutenant listed are Class D crimes. There's not an exception carved out for a minor in those either. And we were assured in the course of discussing that, and I said earlier we talked about minors. The Bureau uses a great deal of discretion in how they handle minors in regard to these violations, but that if I think that there, my personal concern, as we heard that in the committee, is if we make it a lesser crime or a lesser fine for a minor, we're going to have adults having their children out there doing this and forcing the children to do this. I don't know how we solve that easily, but certainly if you have suggestions how to better deal with this, we would be meeting again on Monday. We'll be taking up whatever your recommendations are, of course.
Thank you. Representative Pease?
Yes. I totally agree with this lawsuit. My question is, intervening in this offense now, do you feel it's apt to help you contain an issue that's kind of out of hand at this point in order to stem part of it before it does escalate to violence?
Representative Pease, unequivocally, yes. I think that, again, there's always going to be those situations where it doesn't matter for those individuals. But for the most part, if somebody is under the impression that they can go to jail for something, they're going to be a little bit better behavior. And I'd also, if I could back up just one second, I guess I would like to reiterate to this committee that the Department of Marine Resources has always had a kid gloves demeanor with juveniles. If we encounter a juvenile with a violation, we consider that as an educational thing. Issue a warning, call the parents, make sure that this sort of behavior doesn't happen again. But there is the possibility that and we would use that in just the rarest occasion. And it, as I said, it could arise with adults getting their kids to fish for them. We've already seen it. So,
let's hold the flashlight. Participate. Senator Plummer, please. I think we're probably ready to conclude this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me take a stab at this. I move that we...
You might want to come up and switch seats.
I move that we inform the Marine Resources Committee that we have reviewed LD 632 as ought to pass as amended, and that we find that this bill is consistent with other penalties, and I think in the criminal code, but and further, we advise them to be aware that a Class D crime could carry prison time, which could cause a fiscal note to the bill.
We have a motion on the floor. We have a second. We have Curtis writing with a yellow pencil, not using his electronic device. further discussion, or I'll take a show of hands. Let's have a vote. Show of hands. All those opposed. They in heaven, it's me. Thank you very much. Senator Johnson, thank you very much for bringing this concern in front of us, as the rules say, and I hope we've disposed of it in a fast and an easy manner. And I hope that your committee will have it on the floor on Tuesday. Thank you to the department for coming in for criminal justice. We don't get to see it nearly enough. What's next, boss?
Next session. You're done.
Next session.